Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It's been a great workshop so far. Today we've started a study just looking at normal aging or senescence, which typically involves structural and functional changes to the human brain. And we're looking to quantify these so we understand the baseline. So as we move forward, looking at other diseases and other biomarkers that might help us at least understand how the normal process of aging looks like. There have been three other studies, MRE studies, that have looked at aging in the past. All of them have shown some level of decrease in the average viscoelastic properties with age. So this is not new news, but a slightly different approach, and that we're extending the multi-excitation experiment that we looked at previously into a larger cohort of subjects, where we have two distinct excitation directions that we do separately, and then we're looking at two cohorts of people, so a healthy young and then young old, which is defined as like 55 to 75, which definitely sounds like a term that was defined by somebody about 60 years old who said, "I'm not old, I'm young old, give me a break." So if I just say old, I'll just apologize now, because young old just gets repetitive. And we're looking mostly at white matter effects and mechanical property changes, whereas the anisotropy changes. Okay. So as most of you are familiar, and just specifically for our group, we're using a Siemens 3T Trio using 50 hertz excitation with a resoundant system and 2 millimeter isotropic resolution with full brain coverage. And this takes 6 minutes for the MRE and 30 minutes total for the whole experiment. So as many of you are familiar with, we are our multi-excitation experiment where the anterior-posterior is on the left-hand side, and this is the typical soft pillow actuator at the posterior of the head, which has been used in many studies. And then we do the left-right, where we put a liver pad on the side of the head and then have to pad in the head. So this one's a little bit trickier just with placement and contact. The benefit here is it becomes co-registered right away. So what we're able to do is we did actually take 12 and 12, young and old. We ended up with 9 and 7 that were useful data. And these were all right-handed males. So again, we run the multi-excitation experiment. And then in conjunction with DTI and MP-RAGE, the goal here is to quantify anisotropic changes with the aging brain. And potentially where MRE might be more sensitive than other measures like DTI. So again, MP-RAGE for registration and DTI, which we'll use later on. I'll get back to why it's useful for us. As others have pointed out, Keith and Eli and Matt, the NLI in its sort of quick form here is taking the 3D complex displacement field, and here we're assuming an isotropic material model with storage and loss moduli at 50 hertz. And the main assumption that we have for Navier's equation being that the complex shear modulus is inside the operator, so it's heterogeneous. And what we see here, if we look at the top left, so that's the whole brain results from our two different cohorts, and then we have corpus callosum, coronum radiata, and superior longitudinal fasciculus. Each of these we see a decrease in stiffness from about 1.6 pascals per year up to 5.6 overall for the whole brain. Now these are a little low compared to one of the previous studies, Arani's, at least in one part of the brain. So he was looking at the lobes in that part, which is negative 12 pascals per year. So we may find similar, more drastic decreases. Part of the problem, I think, here is, at least in the young subjects, we seem to have this sort of softer group. There seems to be some sort of split in the young group where there's a stiffer group and a softer group that's kind of pulling our statistics down a little bit, which is something that could be interesting to figure out. And for the loss moduli, we have similar decreases in the whole brain, a little bit less in CC and CR, but there's actually an increase in the loss moduli for the SLF, where we have actually an increase in G double prime with age. The hypothesis here being that there's with age, there's cell degradation, so there's more loss in the system. So something that's maybe didn't start out as anisotropic actually becomes is more sensitive to this. But it's a hypothesis so far. So other studies have looked at, a lot of study looked at DTI and aging, and what we see is we have similar trends from some related to Davis and Neuroimage 2009 with decreases in FA in the different white matter regions with age, and also an increase in radial diffusivity with age. So consistent that we have a population that's consistent with other studies. And interestingly here, we don't have that similar split that there's something, at least in the DTI, that was showing that there are two distinct populations in the young. The DTI measures seem to be pretty close together. So MRE might have something to say there. So as I've shown before with our small pilot study of a single subject, we repeated it. The big question here, which is Phil alluded to yesterday, if you had an isotropic medium on the left and you sheared it in two different directions, you'd expect the same properties, unless there was an underlying microstructure there that was anisotropic. So we did this in a single subject, and we found both visual contrast differences. So in the AP excitation at the top, relative to LR, you can just see in the contrast there's differences. There's actually up to 2 kilopascal difference in some regions. So it's a significant effect depending on how you excite the tissue in vivo. So like I said, with DTI is very helpful for us for looking at what's going on and why is this occurring. And it's been shown that there is a strong connection between diffusion, microstructure, and the mechanical structure that we get from material properties. So we're gonna leverage this by taking the shear strain in the lab frame and then rotating it into the local fiber frame at a voxel by voxel level. So we're effectively taking mechanical experiments at the voxel level. We don't have control like Phil had yesterday in his corpus callosum where he had excised tissue because these healthy subjects would like to stay healthy. So we just have to do what we can. And here, looking at the asymmetry and shear at any one voxel on these fiber bundles from DTI, so comparing the shear parallel in the planes parallel to the fiber axis relative to perpendicular shear. So if we look at our two groups, wow, not sure how that happened. Okay. That must be a Mac that all of your data disappears except for the averages. There were dots behind here. Okay. Wow, okay. So I'll have to walk through a little harder here. Okay, so the young AP direction is this one. The young LR is this one. And then the young old AP is here. And the young old LR is here. And then, so this is actually looks fairly similar to our previous study with a single subject where there was when you had a larger difference in the shear strain ratios, you actually saw the separation here, and similarly for G double prime. So in the previous study, both G prime and G double prime in the corpus callosum were statistically significantly different. In this one, just G double prime is. So G double prime in both CC and CR are statistically significantly different for young. None of the old subjects actually were different. So this points to the fact that with age they become less anisotropic, so which we expected, but this helps us interrogate it at a voxel level. Okay. So in summary, this is our first part of our analysis for the study, and we actually were able to do the distinct mechanical tests inside the white matter. So as I didn't point out, but you know, we are getting differences in shear asymmetry, so it's not that we didn't achieve different mechanical tests in the young and the old. We did, but we just didn't see the anisotropy as much in the old. So we were able to extend a very small study earlier into something that's larger and much more interesting. So one thing would be looking at trying to identify why there was like a soft group in the young, because the DTI didn't have a similar separation. So with that, I'll take any questions, and I'll thank all of the people that helped with this and resources. Thanks.
Thank you. Very nice work. Regarding the soft group in the young people, what time of the day did you scan? Was there a difference between the young, the soft, and the old group? Or sorry, the soft and the strong group?
Yeah, I scanned them when they were available. So that was kind of one thing in retrospect. Maybe I should have controlled for more. I can go back and look at the timing though.
Because it's known that CSF production changes during daytime. So there might, and also brain volume, I believe. So there might be a relation between that. Mm-hmm. And did you look to perfusion? Because with older people, perfusion goes down. So that may also be related to the MRE measurements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So it's the things you learn after you've run 20 people. Yeah, thanks.
Any other questions? I was just curious, you said you rotate to the frame, you take the strain measurement, you rotate that to the frame of reference of the DTI. Are you just assuming everything's piecewise linear kind of then? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible to do something fancier where you would use a polynomial fit to the, you know, the tractography and a polynomial fit to them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely more in line with what Tony does. If you actually did a tractography and you actually put them on there, I think you could do some equity. You could look more directly at the anisotropy, especially in the corpus callosum, if you said along a number of tracks, what is this actually strained in a more macro sense? That might actually give you a little bit more idea. I kind of let the data be the data, but that'd be like a next level thing, I think, would be useful.
Cool.